Good evening and welcome to Q95's Prime News Roundup for today, Friday, March 27th, 2015. I am Marilyn Isles. In the headlines this evening, five police officers charged with murder of Joshua Etienne. CCJ president reviews the impact and influence of Magna Carta in the Caribbean law, and several missing after NYC building collapses. The news is brought to you through the kind compliments of Courts Dominica Limited. The details of these stories and more coming up.
Madness continues at Courts with nothing down and absolutely nothing to pay until Mother's Day. Plus, mad deals all over the store. I tell you, deals upon deals upon deals, and all deals priced to go. Go! You've got to be mad not to get yours, so get down to Courts right now. Nothing to pay until Mother's Day. Plus, even madder deals every day. You just can't miss it. Courts, bringing value home.
Welcome back to this evening's news. A little shy of 8 months later, and five police officers implicated in the custodial death of Joshua Etienne of Portsmouth have been formally charged with his death. On Friday morning, five officers appeared before the Roseau magistrate, where the charge of murder was read to them. Officers Orlan Vigil, Delvin Challenger, Martin Seaman, Gemma Lewis, and Sergeant Hayden Morgan have now been remanded in barracks at the police headquarters in Roseau. A judicial review into the matter was discontinued on Wednesday when it was expected that the five would have charges read out to them. However, this did not happen, as the defense told the court that they were unaware that they should appear in court on Wednesday, as the matter should have been heard on April 2nd. The five officers were arrested after Etienne, 48, was found dead in police cells at the Portsmouth Police Station on July 4th, 2014. While there was a heavy police presence at the court on Friday morning, the media and family members were not allowed in the courtroom, which led to much public criticism. At the close of the proceedings, attorney at law Tiani Bihanzin, acting for the family, spoke with Q95 News on the matter.
The charges were read to the officers, and a date was given for the start of the premier inquiry. Now, what I would have expected to have happened is that, given the 8 months that they have had to prepare their investigation, I'm assuming that they would have picked up all of their statements by now, and the matter could actually proceed almost immediately to the High Court on what is called a paper committal. So in other words, the evidence is supplied to the magistrate on paper. The magistrate then reviews them and then allows the matter, makes a determination whether there is sufficient evidence, then send the matter for trial at the High Court. So that means the matter goes to the High Court within a few weeks, as opposed to the months they have decided to place before the court for a date to actually start the pre-inquiry. So I think the nonsense has clearly begun.
Attorney at law Tihani Bihanzin. And Roseau Central Parliamentary Representative Joseph Isaac says he believes it is time that the Dominican people begin to hold politicians accountable for what they promise. Isaac makes these comments in the wake of announcements that the Roseau Enhancement Project is facing delays. Isaac says the delay is a clear indication that the government had no plan for implementing this project as a priority.
I think it is time in Dominica that we really hold our politicians accountable to what they promise. And we must always look at what they promise and what they have implemented. It is clear that the government had no plan in actually implementing this project as a priority. In fact, see what has happened. They went ahead and they took $27 million to invest in a state palace. And you have to pass in the city, a dilapidated city, when you could use, instead of $27 million for the state house, you could maybe invest $5 million for the state house and take a loan more or less of about $60 to $75 million to improve the city of Roseau, because you have to pass in a dilapidated city to go to see the state house. Again, it is showing that they are not committed to what they say. They just say things so that they can win an election. But after the election has passed, then you realize what the reality is. In fact, it is not budgeted for in our capital budgets, this project. And they have never said that we have any commitment from any financial or international organizations.
Roseau Central Parliamentary Representative Joseph Isaac. And in more news this evening, the government of Dominica has given its commitment to the establishment of Small Business Development Centres, SBDCs, in Dominica. SBDCs are the mechanisms designed to enhance the delivery of services in a structural way to grow micro, small and medium enterprises. The services provided by SBDCs include business plan development, manufacturing assistance, financial packaging and lending assistance, exporting and importing support, disaster recovery assistance, procurement and contract aid, market research help and healthcare guidance. The Ministry of Commerce, Enterprise and Small Business Development, in collaboration with the OAS, U.S. State Department, Caribbean Export Development Agency, the University of Texas in San Antonio, UTSA, has begun a partnership geared at the establishment of SBDCs within the Caribbean. Representatives of the OAS and the UTSA have been in Dominica from March 23rd to 27th, working with a diverse project team to work out necessary logistics and technical assistance required for the implementation of SBDCs in Dominica. Minister for Commerce, Enterprise and Small Business Development Rosalind Paul told a press conference on Friday that the government of Dominica recognizes the importance of the small and micro business sector as a vibrant contributor to the economic development and social transformation of the nation.
SBDCs in other OAS or Caribbean states have proven to be a success. There are a number of success stories and best practices through SBDC in Dominica and the Caribbean region and partnership with our U.S. counterparts. We will definitely further our government's efforts to establish a structured mechanism, an ecosystem made of private and public players, which will nurture and sustain them, making the action of entrepreneurs easier, more affirmative, and lucrative. SBDCs can help the business community to become more efficient, effective, and export-ready, and to establish trade linkages.
She says the sector provides meaningful employment, skills transfer, wealth creation, and diverse opportunities for all to participate in national development.
SBDC in Dominica can also be perceived as a valuable catalyst to spreading the culture of enterprise and promotion of a business-oriented society. Consequently, it is with great pleasure, motivation, and expectation that on behalf of the government and people of Dominica, that we pledge our continued support to and participation in this program, and we hereby formally launch SBDCs in Dominica. In this light, we commit to continue to work with our local stakeholder and project partners to put in place policies and legislation for SMEs and for regulating SBDCs, conduct relevant training, consolidate all processes for establishing our SBDCs, and to pilot an SBDC in Dominica in collaboration with the NDFD.
Minister for Commerce, Enterprise and Small Business Development, Rosalind Paul. And the government of Dominica has announced that it will soon be introducing rural-based development centres on island. Speaking at the press conference on Friday, Minister for Commerce, Enterprise and Small Business Development Rosalind Paul says the centres will be housed in existing structures such as community resource centres. She says these centres will basically act as a business incubators for entrepreneurs.
We are going to introduce very shortly what we call rural-based development centers as well, where we'll be utilizing existing structures such as the community resource centers that persons who are into businesses would get a chance to be what we could call a business incubation at the rural level. So we are getting into that. We are also collaborating with persons who, for example, are into sewing, that we can support them and get them incubate the skills that they have, incubate the sewing, so that we expand sewing industry. We have also been talking with a number of partners, for example, the client base, the Manufacturers Association, that we could assist them where there are gaps. We're working as well, hopefully, with the junior achievers to take them from where they are at, that you can get them. A number of them are doing some small products that can even be exported, so to take them from there. So there are a number of programs that we are developing that would seek to expand enterprise, expand the industry, and small business in development in Dominica.
Minister for Commerce, Enterprise, Rosalind Paul. And the leader of the opposition United Workers Party, UWP, Lennox Linton, says Dominicans must pay greater attention to the quality and standard of governance coming from the government administration. Linton makes these comments in the wake of announcements that Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit has led a delegation to Malaysia and China with the intention of promoting Dominica as an offshore banking jurisdiction and to establish a high commission in Malaysia following the formalizing of bilateral relations with the jurisdiction in January of 2015. Linton laments that while Malaysian media are quoting the Prime Minister as wishing to avoid negative attention brought about by the operations of business activities without sufficient due diligence, Mr. Skerrit has assured that his government will put in place mechanisms that will now ensure that transactions are conducted legitimately. However, Linton says while Mr. Skerrit says he's prepared to transact business legitimately, his track record leaves much to be desired as it relates to accountability and transparency.
This is the man now with that track record behind him who is now coming to present himself as Mr. Squeaky Clean, with the right image and the right set of bona fides to be leading a cleanup of offshore jurisdictions in this region and getting Dominica to emerge as an example. Well, show me your company and we'll tell you who you are, you know. It's a very simple but powerful dictum that has been with us from time immemorial. And I do not see where the players in this government can get or can find the moral authority to lead any emergence of an offshore sector here that anybody around the world would want to rely on, would want to feel is clean and they want to be associated with. I don't see it. Unless we see some drastic change in the way this government operates, we're not going to see it. Because look at what is happening. Look at the composition of the team that's going to Malaysia. These questions have to be asked.
Leader of the opposition United Workers Party, Lennox Linton. And in more news this evening, the President of the Caribbean Court of Justice, CCJ, Sir Dennis Byron, recently presented a lecture at the University of the West Indies UWE Open Campus, which underscored the impact and influence of the Magna Carta on Caribbean law. The lecture was in celebration of the 800th anniversary of the Magna Carta, Latin for Great Charter, a legal instrument that was issued under the authority of King John of England in 1215. It is an instrument upon which many constitutions, including those in the Caribbean community, CARICOM region, are based. Byron explained that the instrument is known for promoting judicial integrity and impartiality and forbade the denial of justice and its delay to all citizens. He further explained that the Magna Carta is part of the history of the struggle between power and freedom and had become a symbolic argument in the fight to develop parliamentary democracy in 17th century England. And at least two people are thought to be missing after an explosion sent flames tearing through the Manhattan building. The blast, the result of a faulty utility work, caused three buildings to collapse on Thursday, injuring 22 people, four critically. Officials are trying to determine whether one other person who has been reported missing is connected to the incident. As the fire is contained, families are desperately searching for loved ones. Firefighters and medical staff worked overnight to try to douse the flames in Manhattan's East Village. Nicholas Figaro, 23, was on a date at a sushi restaurant affected by the explosion and has not been seen since, his brother Tyler said. Authorities are also looking for Moises Lucan, a worker in one of the buildings. Earlier, officials said they were investigating the cases of six other people who had been reported missing, besides Mr. Figaro and Mr. Lucan. The people were all unaccounted for, but their connections to the incident were not clear. Officials now say that they are only investigating the disappearance of one person. And this has been the evening's Prime News Roundup, but first, a recap of our headlines. And making headline news this evening, five police officers charged with murder of Joshua Etienne. And CCJ president reviews the impact and influence of the Magna Carta on Caribbean law. And several missing after NYC building collapse. The news is brought to you through the kind compliments of Courts Dominica Limited. If you missed any of our news packages, do log on to our website at www.q95da.com to view the stories, or click on the podcast icon to listen to the various packages. On behalf of the Q95 News team, I am Marilyn Niles, wishing you a very pleasant evening.